Hello, beautiful friends and listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Forest Fire Rising, a safe space to talk about life, the universe, nature, and being our best and most authentic selves. I am Shauna, your host, and I'm so grateful to have you back for 5 episodes. I feel like this is like a mini milestone. Like, I think it'll be exciting when I get to 10. I know I say this every episode, but I still just am so proud of myself for doing this. Today's episode is going to be a Q&A. I put a question up on my Instagram story for y'all to ask me whatever you want. Nothing's off limits, so I'm going to answer a lot of them in this episode. I thought this would be a good way to connect with you guys and also get some more insight on possible future episode topics. I'm going to answer most of them. I tried to group them together like questions, and yeah, nothing's off limits. I am trying to be as real as possible with y'all, so that is why I wanted to do a Q&A, and I thought it would be just a good way to celebrate episode 5 by giving you guys more control over what I talk about. Before we get started though, I do have a big ask of y'all. I might have a really exciting opportunity coming up to host a fun little nature retreat in a super cool destination. I started working with this company that facilitates retreats and group travel for content creators and creators alike. And it's just super cool, and it would be incredible if this was able to happen. It would definitely be a little winter getaway because I am from Minnesota, so if I'm gonna go on vacation, I'm trying to escape the winter and get some sunshine. So it will be a winter getaway to some sort of tropical destination with nature excursions, hippie, girly, feminine things, spiritual workshops, tarot reading, jewelry making, and just lots and lots of fun, connection and healing. And if traveling with me sounds like something that you would be interested in, please, please, please visit the link. I'll put it in this episode description, but it's also going to be in my link tree or in my Instagram bio. And take the survey. The survey is to find out if my community has enough interest in this and to find out where you guys would want to go and what kind of things you guys would like to do. So the survey is for you guys to have a say in what kind of retreat or trip this would be. So please, please, please check out that survey. Take that survey. I would definitely want this to be something that works for as many people as would want to come. And yeah, I'm just really excited about this. So please go check out that survey, and yeah, thank you for listening to me share about that. Okay, so before we get into the episode, we need to do our card pull. This week, I am using the Animal Apothecary deck by Cara Elizabeth. Love this deck. I love the art and the colors, and I just really like animal-themed decks. I think they're super fun and fun to connect with and easy to, they're user friendly and yeah. And there's so many different ones and everyone has such unique ideas with them. But anyway, let's pull our card. Okay, so we pulled Master Manifestor, which is the Raven, and I'm not sure, I think maybe we pulled this in another episode. And this is actually one of my most, like personally most pulled cards in this deck, and I know that it comes up for me a lot because the universe is just constantly trying to remind me how much power I have to create the life I want. I definitely struggle with limiting beliefs and struggle with thinking that my dreams are too big, and the universe just constantly is telling me that I need to just believe in myself. So I get this card like a lot. Yeah, okay, so we actually pulled this card last week, now that I look at the book and see it, so that's crazy. But anyway, so it's the Raven. Raven medicine says that when you honor all aspects of your being, you become whole. Wholeness equates to self-love, and your wholeness supercharges your magnetism to attract and create. So, yeah, I just need to, or we just need to, the message is be yourself, believe in yourself, and use energy from inspiration to create. I actually recently read a quote that said, I'm actually going to go find it so that I can tell you guys exactly what it said. Okay, so the quote is, if you want to build a great life, slow down. Anyone can caffeinate and push hard toward their next goal, but it's not sustainable. Long-term energy comes from alignment, and alignment requires feeling the subtle difference between energy created from anxiety and energy created from inspiration. And that is just so true. It just feels so much better to be working and creating from a positive, inspired place instead of a just anxious and longing place, you know? Like, have gratitude for what you're doing and be inspired and put your good energy out, and it's just so much more sustainable to create and live that way. But okay, let's get into the Q&A. So the only reason I didn't answer a question is because I already answered it in different episodes. Like, a lot of people asked about holistic living and health, and I covered a ton of that last week. So if you haven't listened to last week is probably my favorite episode so far because I just love healthy living and holistic health and natural medicine. So go listen to last week's episode if you're wondering about that. So I put them kind of in order of like topic. So like questions get liked. And I originally thought I would use your guys' names, but most people didn't leave a name. So I'm just gonna read the question, and then some people ask like similar questions. But yeah, so let's get into it. Okay, the first question, how would you describe your spirituality? A lot of people had a similar question to this as well. So my spirituality is definitely earth-based. Technically, I fall under paganism, which I don't use that label a ton, but like, I do identify with that, which, if you don't know, paganism is a blanket term for like earth-based religion. So a lot of different like, I don't know, earth-based religion is really what I just, or earth-based spirituality. Like, I follow the earth. I try to live as closely to the seasons as possible. Which is something I covered in episode 2. But I try to live as close to Mother Earth, as close to the seasons as possible, live my life cyclically, do high energy stuff in the spring and summer, and honor the growth that is happening in the world and the sun. And I plant a garden in the summer. I try to preserve as much stuff I can in the fall so that I can eat it in the winter and share my abundance and nourish ourselves. And that is totally a spiritual practice, gardening, cooking. And I totally, fully believe in source energy and the universe. I think that the universe is definitely on our side, and I do think that we can, I do think that we are able to connect to higher levels and connect with our spirit guides, connect with our higher selves. And I think just the point of this human experience that we're in is to heal. I fully believe that we are spirits having a human experience, and the goal is to ascend to new levels of whatever is out there. So like, we're here on Earth to learn some sort of lesson that we didn't learn in our past lives, so we're here to learn it. I believe that. I believe in spirit guides. I believe that I am divinely protected. And just a lot of things in my everyday life are spiritual. Like exercise, movement, that's spiritual because I'm taking care of my body, which honors my spirituality. Cooking, being connected to my food and being connected to where it came from honors my spirituality. Yeah, so that's my spirituality. I think we're spirits having a human experience. So you come here and you experience things, which can sometimes be unhealthy things, which is totally part of the experience. And we're here to learn and heal and take care of ourselves and those around us. But yeah, spirituality is definitely a broad topic. I probably should do an episode on that. Or maybe like a series or something. But yeah. Earth holidays. And I believe that we're all interconnected. Like, I am source, your source. The trees and the flowers are all source or God or whatever you call it. Like, we are the universe experiencing itself. We're all interconnected, we're all blessed, and we're all worthy just because we exist. We are not here to, we're not here to correct anything. Like, we're not, we are worthy just because we're human. We are worthy just because we are beings in this beautiful world. That is what I believe in. And the next question is, when did you have your first ever spiritual awakening? So it started my second year of college is when I really started realizing that, like, some things that I already thought and was drawn to, like, I was in high school and stuff, I was drawn to, like, more spiritual art. And I definitely, I was raised in a Christian home, and most people in my town are Christian, and I knew pretty, like, early on that that was not what I was gonna follow. I knew that I didn't resonate with that. And when I went to college, I moved from a small town, went to a bigger city to go to college, and I realized that there was a name for everything I believed in, and I realized that other people practiced this too. And I think that was probably the start of my first spiritual awakening, because I started researching, like, spirit guides, and I started researching earth-based religion and realizing that people celebrated their life and they celebrated the seasons and they were so closely connected with earth. And I've always loved nature. I've always loved being outside. And I just started finding that everything I already believed in had a name, and that other people also resonated with this thing. And so that was the start of my first spiritual awakening, when I first started practicing and realizing it. So this was, like, definitely not huge, because I was still, like, you know, a lot of people start and they immediately go for, like, oh, I need to collect all these rocks, and I need to learn how to read tarot, which I did do those things, but it wasn't until a few years later that I was like, oh shit, I'm going through this awakening, and this is hard. I started doing the shadow work, I started digging deep into myself, I started doing a lot of habits to improve myself, and that was a few years later, and it was a lot bigger than the first one when I started dabbling and realizing that this was a thing. The next question, how did you find yourself? So basically the broad answer to that is I started living and doing what aligned. If something didn't feel good, I just didn't do it. And I'm definitely still finding myself. I'm right around that age where people are learning so much about who they are and are finally starting to fall into themselves. And I feel like every year I get older, I feel more and more myself and more comfortable being myself. But I did what aligned. I surrendered to the flow. If something did not feel good, I just didn't do it. If something was not helping me be a better person, if it wasn't part of my goals, I just didn't do it. And I started really taking care of myself. I was really inspired and motivated to be healthy and to be the best version of myself that I can be. And through all these practices of self-love and authenticity is how I've been finding myself. And I'm still learning to use my voice and feel comfortable in the community that I belong to. I would say in the last year or so, I've started to really connect with people in a way that I have not before and feel comfortable having these friends. And that has been really nice and also a big step in finding myself, feeling a sense of belonging. But yeah, I'm definitely still, like, working on that, but using my intuition and not shutting out that little voice, listening to myself, getting to know myself, it's all been super, super amazing and beneficial in my spiritual growth journey and my journey in this life. Okay, the next question is, what was one of the most evolutionary experiences in your healing journey? So definitely when I talk about having a bigger spiritual awakening a few years after the first, this is when that happened. So I lived at college and then I lived with my sister for a few years and then I had to move back in with my parents. And this was so eye-opening for me. It totally was the thing that told me, like, you are going to be healthy, you're going to take care of yourself, you are going to do the work so that you don't end up the same. I moved back in with my parents, and I was already starting to heal a little bit. I was definitely grown up. I was not a kid anymore, and I was able to see everything negative that happened in my teen years and childhood years with new eyes as an adult, and really seeing how fucked up some of these ways of living was, and it just made it so apparent to me how important it was to heal. And my partner and I were both living with my parents at the time, and he definitely feels very similar, where we were shown just how negative things can be if you choose not to heal. Like, seeing that as an adult, as coming back again to that, it definitely opened my eyes, and it really brought me onto this idea of radical acceptance. And besides wanting to better myself, and besides being super inspired to be the best version of myself I can be, it also turned me on to this idea of radical acceptance, where you just have to accept things as they are, accept people as they are. And that really helped me a lot. I started therapy during this time, which is where I learned about radical acceptance, and I was able to start accepting people as they were, accepting things as they were, and knowing what I had control over and what I didn't have control over. But yeah, this few years was definitely the most evolutionary experience, and I guess grateful that I experienced it, because it definitely was like the nail in the coffin that, like, you are going to heal, you are going to be better. And like I said, it helped my boyfriend too. We grew a whole bunch over that time as well. But yeah, that was the most evolutionary experience. Next question, what made you okay with your spirituality even when people judge you? The answer to this question is radical acceptance, which I just talked about. You have to accept that some people are not going to be okay with it. And I just have such a deeply rooted idea that, like, this is my journey, this is where I'm supposed to be, and my spirituality itself helps me accept myself for who I am, and it helps me accept others for who they are. It is a little bit disappointing if people judge or say negative things, but that's their business. That's not my business. Like, they're just projecting. Like, personally, as somebody who practices witchcraft, somebody who considers himself pagan, I don't care what other people follow. I don't care about other people's religion, as long as you're not hurting people or yourself and you're being loving and accepting. But yeah, and I know myself, I know I'm a good person, I know what I'm practicing has good intentions, and just knowing that and being so deeply rooted in my beliefs and my practices helps me ward off other people's judgments, because there are judgments, there are thoughts about me, not my business. So just radically accepting that some people will be supportive of you and some people won't. And that goes for anything, spirituality or not. Where do you think satisfaction comes from? So I put this at the end of a little section about, like, more spiritually based questions, spirituality themed questions. Because this question has already kind of been answered, but I wanted to put it in here. So satisfaction comes from alignment. It comes from living aligned. And actually, I brought this up at the beginning of the episode. The creation and productivity from inspiration versus anxiety. So if you're doing something because you love it, if you're doing something because it makes you feel good and it is fulfilling to you, that is where your satisfaction is going to come from, and your creations are going to be so much better. They're going to be so much more vibrant. They're going to have so much more of your personality in it, your wonderful personality, if you are creating from inspiration versus creating from anxiety. Like, every once in a while, if you are some sort of creator, if you do some sort of art or just anything, like, do something for you. Paint something every once in a while that's just something you like, and maybe do it without showing somebody. Like, it's just about not resisting, and being your true authentic self with no fear. That is where satisfaction is going to come from, because you know you are doing right by yourself and you are making the right decisions for you. And also knowing yourself and not taking anything personally. This was touched on where I was talking about judgment for spirituality. If you know yourself and you know that you're doing good, if you know that you are making the best decisions, and not taking anything personally, because what other people say to you, they're just projecting. So if you're able to not take things personally, that's where you're gonna find satisfaction, because every decision you make is gonna be aligned with you and your unique self and your unique journey. And the fulfillment that you will feel will just be incredible. Next question. I have a problem with obsessing over money. Tips on how not to. This for me is also super related to spirituality, because it's all about healing your money wound and changing your money mindset. I used to be so bad at this, and I'm still kind of bad, but not nearly as bad. Like, I used to log into my banking app like dozens of times every day and go over my budget dozens of times every single day, and it was definitely obsessive. But I kind of started to change my language and be more at peace with my money. Like, personally, I've always been fine. Sometimes it's close and whatnot, but the universe has always provided for me, and I have used that as just tell myself it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. And using affirmations like, I spend my money on things that I value. I spend my money on things that bring me joy. I spend my money on things that make me a healthy and happy person. And that kind of helps with some of the guilt that we feel when we spend money on something that's not necessarily a need, which is, I know a lot of people obsess over that. They just feel bad for spending money on themselves. But if you're being within reason, that's not bad. Like, if you are making your experience on this earth better, that's fine. Just learn to be at peace with your money by learning to control your money and abundance and not letting it control you. So stop being so afraid to open your bank app. Stop opening it more than you have to. If you do open it, know that you're just being responsible. You're not going in there from anxiety. You are going in there to be responsible and in control of your money instead of the other way around. So the first step is to assess without judgment. It's very important why your finances make you so nervous, and start looking at money as energy. Money is always moving and flowing. If we give somebody our money, we give somebody our energy for a food that we really like, or a supplement that makes us healthy, or on a gym membership, or a game that we wanted. That is energy that you're exchanging for something in return, something that you value. So money is always moving. You can always make more money. You're always putting your energy toward things you care about. And it's not bad to spend your money on things you need or things you value. And within reason, things you want. We're here for a human experience, and that is part of it. Yeah, like, just have somewhat of a budget, be realistic, be intentional with your money, use some of those affirmations that I mentioned. Like, you can also use ones like, money flows to me. Money flows easily to me. I am taken care of. Stuff like that. Change your wording, be intentional, and those are my money tips. Okay, next tips to slow down my life. So I recommend listening to episode 2, and I really talk about, or episode 2 and episode 4, I really talk about the importance of listening to your body and slowing down when your body wants you to slow down, and when you do stuff that's more high energy, be intentional about it. And also romanticize your life. Like, I love making myself cutesy meals all the time. I have my space decorated how I love. And just taking the time to intentionally do things instead of, like, sitting there on my phone or just sitting there thinking too much. I'm able to romanticize my life, and it just makes every day feel so much better. And then also living cyclically, using your pattern of energy to your advantage, slow down when your body wants you to slow down, and do higher energy things when you have more energy. Yoga tips for beginners and how to keep a routine. I get asked this so much, all the time. People will DM me and want to know. And my biggest tip is that there is no rules. I mean, there is some rules. Obviously, you want to be safe. And I recommend doing a little research because yoga is so much more than the poses we do. Like, there's actually 8 limbs of yoga and asana. The physical aspect is just one of them. The poses that we get into when we do yoga, that is just one of them. Like, there is a whole world of living your yoga and learning to bring yoga practices into your everyday life. So definitely do some research, because there is a super spiritual, super cultural significance of yoga, and you definitely should be somewhat familiar with that, I think, if you're gonna do yoga and call it yoga. But you don't need to be super fancy. You don't need to go into it with goals of, like, being able to do a handstand or be able to just be super flexible and do all these crazy poses. That's not what yoga really is about. And that comes with doing the research and learning more of what it really is about. But as far as keeping your routine, this personally is what works for me. I think it's easier to do more shorter flows per week instead of less longer flows, because it just keeps my attention so much more. So I'll set aside like a half an hour a couple times a week instead of trying to sit down and do a full hour flow, because that's a big chunk of my day and I'm a busy person, and you guys are probably busy people too. So I recommend finding a schedule that works for you. Personally, I enjoy flowing at night more than the morning, but whatever works for you, do whatever you need. And like, you don't have to sit there and flow the whole time. You can dance all the time. I do yoga and I stop and just dance. I wiggle. I think it feels really good just to intuitively move my body, and dance around and jump around. And I try to do it with a smile on my face, because that just makes the whole experience so much better. And you can dance. You can just stretch if you're just trying to loosen up your body. You can just stretch, and yeah, so that's my tips. Keep a routine, and make sure that you are focusing on your breath. That is such a big part of yoga too. But yeah, I believe in you, and if you want to get into yoga, you can do it. Yoga is great. Movement is great. There's so many different types of flow and movement, and I think they're all so just incredibly felt throughout the body and so important for people to experience. And I just think it's awesome that you're even thinking about yoga. But yeah. Okay. Next question. Most important thing you have learned herbalism wise. definitely how many things I can do at home to make myself healthier and how amazing our bodies are at healing and how much it is important to have a lifestyle change instead of just using a Band-Aid. This is another one. A lot, like I said, you guys should really listen to episode 4 because I really go deep into more herbalism, health, holistic living things. But the most important thing I've learned, how amazing our bodies are at healing and also how unique everyone's body is. The herbs and teas and stuff that might work for me might not work for you. And we're all just so special and so unique. And there's so many different types of earth medicine and earth candy for us to use intentionally. And just so many things can be treated at home. And we don't need to rely on, you know, over-the-counter ibuprofen for everything, you know? There's just so many changes we can make lifestyle-wise to just feel our best. And once you figure out how good you're able to feel, it's just incredible. And you will be unstoppable. So going right into the next question, my favorite herbs and botanical blends to work with. Lemon balm, I think, is the happiest herb ever, and it's so easy to grow. It's part of the mint family, so if you know anything about mint, you know that it definitely takes over its spot. And lemon balm is just so happy. It tastes so fresh. It smells lemony, and I think it helps with mood. I use it for anxiety, and it definitely just helps me, puts me in a better mood, helps me just, yeah, the happiest herb in my opinion. I also love some lavender, a classic. I think it smells so good. I think it tastes so good. I think it is a sexy herb. I think it is sensual and it tastes good. I love putting it in the bath. I love having it in lotion. And yeah, it's so pretty, the color. Lavender is just so special, so good for the skin, good for the hair, good for anxiety, good for sleep. It's great. And then stinging nettle, which is a super mineral-rich herb. It's got tons of B vitamins, iron, magnesium, and if you are low, it's like a multivitamin. So if you need some iron or whatever, so many vitamins, so many minerals in stinging nettle. And you probably know stinging nettle as the stuff that gives you a really annoying rash if you walk through it. But once you dry it or boil it, if you dry it or cook it, it loses the sting and it becomes extremely medicinal. My favorite way to use it is in tea or a infusion, which is basically like a super strong tea steeped for hours and hours instead of just a couple minutes. But it will give you energy because of the B vitamins and all the minerals in it. And I just love that you can find it outside. And yeah, okay, yeah. Lemon balm, lavender, stinging nettle, my favorites. You definitely should check them out if you are interested in using healing herbs. Okay, next question. Somebody asked how I met my boyfriend and my advice on keeping a loving and stable relationship with your partner. I'm going to answer these at the same time. So me and my boyfriend actually have kind of a cute story. We went to elementary school together and we were friends in like fourth and fifth grade and sixth grade. And we were both little emo kids that wore skinny jeans and, you know, straightened our hair and whatnot, you know. And we actually dated in sixth grade because we dated in sixth grade for like a week, and I broke up with him because I said that it was stupid to have a boyfriend at 11 years old. And I was right, you know, I was totally right to do that. But then he moved away and we did not talk to each other until after high school, or it was at the end of high school, because we started dating before graduation. But anyway, he messaged me because he had seen me at Warped Tour the summer before. Like I said, we were little emo kids. But he messaged me and asked me if I was there. And we started talking and hanging out. And, you know, it was kind of like right away. I definitely knew that this was something super special. And we started dating 2 weeks later after hanging out again when we were 17. And we actually just celebrated our 8-year anniversary. So, yeah. And we started dating so young that we have grown so much together. And it's really true that you either grow together or you grow apart. And just being flexible and being open to someone else changing, and also realizing that you are your own person that is growing and changing too, and having the patience to go through that together and having the compatibility to go through that together has just been really good. And just knowing that they are also a imperfect human being, also a healing human being, realizing that and being able to put yourself in their shoes. And also just accepting them as they are. If you have a partner that you want to change and you feel you need to change something about them, and they might just not be the person for you. Like, if you want somebody that likes the exact same things that you like and the person you're with doesn't, you can't change that about them. Like, I really like going to, like, raves, and I go to a lot more concerts and music festivals than my boyfriend. And at first we kind of felt negative about that, because obviously I wanted him with me and he did not want, you know, he wanted me not to be out by myself all the time. But like, eventually you just have to accept that this is who we are. You can accept how this is and we can work through it, or it's just not going to work out. So now, within reason, I go to a lot more events than him, and I go to music festivals and sell my art, and we're totally cool with it. And it's fine that he doesn't come with me, because I don't need to make him, and I'm able to accept that that's fine. So you need to accept people as they are, and if you can't change them to an acceptable version of somebody that you want to be with, it just might not be right. Like, my boyfriend can't expect me to be less social of a person, and I can't expect him to be more social of a person, and we just accept that about each other, and it works out. And also, your happiness cannot be someone else. You are your own people. You have to be happy doing your own things, happy with your own hobbies, because if somebody just doesn't do exactly what you want, you can't be have all your happiness do that. You can't have all your happiness in that situation. And also, just be yourself, and they will love you for you if they do, if they are able to accept you for you, and it'll work out. And yeah, so just always be yourself in your relationship, because you don't want to be stuck in a relationship where you are being inauthentic, because that's just uncomfortable, and you will resent them because you act that way, and it'll make you feel negative years later. So be yourself, and they will love you for you if that is a person that's meant for you. Be open with communication, being able to calmly listen and face a problem together instead of against each other. That's so important too, being able to put yourself in their shoes. And this is probably something I want to do a longer episode on, when me and my partner are able to sit down. I don't think I'll have him on. He probably won't want to come on, but maybe I'll make him come on and say hi. But anyway, yeah, that is my tips. Okay, next question. These last questions are kind of miscellaneous, and we might go through them kind of quickly. So, do you rely on your income as an influencer, or do you work somewhere else? When did you first get into jewelry making? Okay, those were two separate questions, but I put them together. So I have my content creation that I do, and that makes me some money, and then I have my jewelry that I do that makes me some money, and then I also have a part-time job that is the most stable, which is why I keep it, because it's the most stable. If I'm not getting a content job or a jewelry sales are low, I still have that part-time job to rely on. I try to only work like 2 days a week, because I do think that it's important to have that time to put into my own goals, but it is nice to have that stable money. So I do have that. And then I'm also lucky that I live in a two-income apartment. It's just me and my partner. So he has his full-time job that is much more stable and consistent than what I do, but we know that I'm working toward big goals. I know I'm working toward big goals, and I hope that one day my jewelry sales and content creation will be stable enough for me to rely on that income solely. And when I first got into jewelry making, it was during COVID. It was definitely my quarantine hobby. I found some bones outside, and I thought that they would be really cool to make into jewelry. And so I ordered a bunch of stuff from Michaels, and I just made stuff and sold it on Instagram stories. And eventually I saw so many people around me. They had small businesses, and I just couldn't stand it. I had to start one too. So I started my small business. Okay, next question. Tips for marketing my small business. Is there one thing that really ended up boosting your business? So for this question, I wish I had better advice, but we all know that the algorithm currently is just so hard right now, and it's making all small businesses suffer, and it's just so unfair. And I really wish that us artists could rely on our talent and art to make us sales and not have to rely on the algorithm. It's just really unfair. But my tips, I do have consistency. It is important to post multiple times a week and do the silly trending stuff. Show your personality. You really want to put a face, I think, to your business. And that's what helps me is having, I have, you know, my personal pages and my business. And I think having my personal pages where I show my life really helps draw people to my business because they want to support me and they know who I am and they relate to me and they want to be involved. So yeah, definitely show your personality on social media, do all the trending stuff, and don't be afraid of being cringe. Anybody that thinks you're cringe is just projecting. Cringe is just a projection of your insecurities. So if you feel cringe toward yourself, that is a insecurity that you need to work on, and it just makes you uncomfortable because it is an insecurity. But yeah, don't be afraid. You have to really work on getting over that and showing people why they should support you and what talent you bring. Okay, next question. Whether it be for health or ethical reasons, how do you feel about vegans claiming that those who go back to consuming animal products were never vegan to begin with or don't care? I think this is a completely fucked up and closed-minded way of thinking. It's super judgmental if you ask me, because we don't know what anybody else is going through. We don't know about their health. We don't know what they can afford. We don't know anything. And I think people who think this are super closed-minded because they act like there's only two diets someone can follow. They can either be strictly vegan or they can eat McDonald's and factory farmed meat all the time. So there's so many different diets in between. You can get locally sourced stuff. You can get what's in your budget. You can try your best to do what's healthy and ethical for you. Personally, I think people should try to be as ethical as possible. But I know, like, you know, we all can afford different things. We all have different resources available to us. So I think as long as we're doing the best that we can with the knowledge and information we have, like, that is good enough. So yeah, I don't like people who think that. Okay, next question. Okay, the next couple of questions are about my tattoos and piercings. So if you don't know, I have like quite a few tattoos, like over 30, and quite a few piercings as well. I got my first tattoos were actually stick and pokes that me and my friends did in high school, and I love those for the memories, and one of them actually is not that bad looking, so I just keep them. And I got my first real tattoos, we went on vacation to Florida, where the laws are different. In Minnesota, you have to be 18, no matter what. But we were in Florida, where you can get one at 16 with a parent's permission. So we went when I was 16, and I got a little lotus on my ankle, and it's super cute. I still love having it. It's definitely, yeah, I don't know, something I just found on Pinterest. And then the year after we went back to Florida, I was 17, I got another one. And then once I turned 18, I definitely started getting them. Like, every couple months I got a new tattoo. And the last tattoo I got done was my back, and I need to finish that. So that is my my long-term plans. I want to finish my back. I also have one sleeve and the other arm is completely bare, which people ask me about a lot. And it's honestly because my left arm is one of the spots that I have a lot of room left. Like, I could put a big piece there if I wanted, whereas the rest of my body, I only have spots for smaller pieces, so I'm saving my arm until I really know what I want. But I do definitely want to be covered. I want finger tattoos. I think they're so cute. I want to get my throat tattooed really soon, too. And as far as piercings go, I don't know that I'll get any more piercings, but I've got quite a few of those already. I'll probably keep them in forever as long as I can. And I just love tattoos and piercings. I think they are just so incredible for us to be able to express ourselves. And I think it's so fun that we just get this vessel to live in. Like, it's part of the human experience. We get this vessel that we just get to, we get to decorate and modify, and it's just so fun that we get to do that. Yeah, so fun. Tattoos and piercings, they're awesome and addicting, and I just fucking love them. I think they make me look awesome. I think they're hot as fuck, and yeah, I love them. I want to get a tattoo, but fear needles. Is it really that bad getting one? So yeah, tattoos, they hurt. In my opinion, after you're sitting in the chair for a few minutes, like, it's more, like, just annoying and uncomfortable, and not so much, like, hurt. It's just really uncomfortable. And I think that it doesn't feel, like, I don't think of it as much it's needles, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like you're being poked. It just feels painful and uncomfortable. But they do have numbing creams now. I have never tried that, but I would. And I've heard they work good. But yeah. I don't know. If you think you want one, I think they're worth it. And I think they're worth the pain. But yeah. So, I don't know. I love them. I think they're worth it. And if you really want one, I think you should get one. I'm definitely supportive of that. But I can't wait to finish my back and do another sleeve. And I also want to get my kitties on my legs. I have one, my childhood kitty, and then a dog that me and my boyfriend had tattooed on my leg. I have them both, so I'll definitely have to get my current two kitties on there eventually. But yeah, I have lots of plans. But yeah, that is all your guys' questions. This episode got longer than I thought it would, but I had so much fun answering these questions for you guys, and I hope that it made you guys feel as connected to me as it did me with you guys, and I can't wait to do something like this again in the future, and I'm so grateful that you all tuned in today, and I hope you have a beautiful day, a beautiful week. Definitely check out that survey. I would love to travel with y'all. I put the link in the description. I'll put my info in the description. And thank you so much for tuning in. I love you all so much. Have a beautiful day or week.